Welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I am your loyal host, gladly bringing you information each week that you can use. We're taking a look at how our brains are engaged when it comes to this whole issue of self-esteem. How we handle that properly, how we develop a proper perspective of self-esteem so we don't let an overly exalted view of our self-esteem get us into trouble. Self-esteem definitely has a very positive side. It can really, really help us through a lot of things. It's important, really and truly, that we be able to feel good about ourselves, even when people are trying to make us feel bad about ourselves. Think about chauvinism and some of the ugly comments that can come from that. Think about feminism and some of the ugly comments and behaviors that can come from that. Think about racism and some of the ugly comments and behaviors that can come from that. It is important that we be able to feel good about ourselves despite attacks against our sense of self-worth. But, as I've been alluding to already, self-esteem can have a dark side. Roy Baumeister and colleagues talked about that, and they observed that high self-esteem, when it's actually too high, is often fragile and is subject to abrupt and painful deflation when the rest of the world demonstrates that it doesn't feel as good about those who have that high self-esteem, that overly exalted self-esteem, as the people themselves have. Worse, when the world doesn't meet their entitlement expectations, many people with overly exalted self-esteem feel wronged. And as a result, they feel justified to retaliate, whether that's with manipulation or abuse or violence. The hierarchical bias of self-esteem traps a lot of people in the toddler brain, where it seems that they need to feel better than someone else to feel okay about themselves. I was mentioning some of the areas where you find this. And the experts are saying that hierarchical self-esteem, which has as one part of its roots overly exalted high self-esteem, lies at the heart of racism, sexism, and all other prejudicial points of view. Lies at the heart of it. We know that there are a lot of people who are hurt, wounded, bruised, and they are easy prey. A lot of them are easy prey for folks who want to manipulate, be about the business of playing on other people's hurts, pains, and therefore weaknesses, vulnerabilities. And so that's how you get a lot of people drawn into the racist cults, other organizations, gangs of all kinds, whether you're talking about adults, teens, you name it. People hurting. And interestingly enough, most often the racists have been hurt most by members of their own race. Because very often, white racists in particular have been hurt more by, very often, their own parents. Whether it's because of abuse, neglect, or both, many people drawn into racist organizations have really been hurt. I didn't say all, I didn't say most, I said many. Think skinheads, for example. A lot of the people who subscribe to the Nazi ways of thinking and feeling I'm not talking about the Germans. I'm talking about Americans who subscribe to the Nazi way of viewing the world and conducting themselves. Many of them were hurt by their own parents, by their own family. And they felt like rejects, outliers, outcasts, people who didn't belong. And they were made to feel that way by members of their own ethnicity. And so in the most logical response possible, they started venting their hatred, their growing hatred and anger out towards the people who did not hurt them. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying or even suggesting that they should be trying to hurt their parents or whoever else from their ethnic community may have hurt them. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm suggesting. What I am saying is it is so totally illogical to expend time and energy trying to hurt people who did not hurt you. But of course, we know that part of the psychological part of that is that, yeah, you know, if I'm going to hurt someone, I don't want to be someone who might be able to hurt me back and maybe hurt me worse than I hurt them. I want to go after someone who I think will never have the power to get back at me. But not only that, if they can be drawn into this hatred thing, oh, wow. So many of our politicians have been elected to office playing the hate game, running ads and making comments that stir up the worst in human beings. And the worst is hatred of those who have never even cared to try to harm you. Hatred of a particularly abusive form of this unfortunate way of looking at the self and the world is what they call predatory self-esteem. So to feel good about themselves, people with predatory self-esteem need to make other people feel bad. Predatory self-esteem. Remember, it's not just about racism. It's also about sexism. How about somebody who you're married to? You married someone of the opposite sex and they treat you in this manner. They're critical, they're controlling, they're demanding. They're hard to please. And very often, they're domineering. And I tell you, that is something that can be so frustrating to be in constant contact with someone who wants to dominate you. Someone who wants to be in control of you. Not just to sometimes influence you, sometimes you influence that. No, I mean, they truly want to be in control of you. All right. What do you think that says about their brain? Now, I know some of you are probably thinking, wow, you know what? Toddler brains work better than that.